Good morning. Good morning, Pastor Paul. Glad that Pastor Paul is here this morning. Yeah. You know, Pastor Paul mentioned earlier about me and bagpipes, but I do want to point out to the fact that I was one of the people who invested in him to get his first bagpipe. So, though bagpipes are not my favorite, though I knew the ministry that Paul would do with bagpipes and music, and I invested in it financially because it's not about me, it's about the Lord, and so I put money into that. Plus I love the brother and want to invest in him as well. Well, good morning. I am Deacon Tyler Anderson. If you don't know who I am, I have a little name tag so that you can remember it. Some days you go to a conference and you have name tags and you're really thankful for that because you're like, can't remember that person's name. I should really remember it. And then, of course, you see them and the first thing you do is stare down their name tag. You don't even look at them. You just stare at the name tag like, hey, Tammy so-and-so. Yes, I remember who you are. So I really like name tags, even though I don't like to wear name tags that much, but I like it because it makes it easier if you forget names like I do. So today, it's Memorial Weekend, and to be honest, it wasn't that long ago that I didn't know why we honored Memorial Day Weekend. We have Veterans Day, we have Memorial Day, we have even, I think it was not that long ago, Saturday, it was a service member day or something. Right, and so like, you get one of those calendars that tells you all the different days there are. So I was like, so we have three military days, and I was in the military, and so I was like, oh, cool, you know. But Memorial Day, as Pastor Paul mentioned, is really for remembering those who have sacrificed for our country, who has paid the ultimate price so that we could have the freedoms we have and the liberties that we have today, which is huge. And we don't actually remember that all the time. We take it for granted. It doesn't matter who you are. We really do, because just the magnitude of what that really means really can dissipate from our minds. But it's good, and I'm glad, as being a service member, that we have that, because it's a great reminder to us to be humble and thankful for the service members, men and women that have died for our country. And I also want to just point out also the sacrifice of the families that have lost those, because when they go into, someone goes into the military, it's just not that person who sacrifices. That whole family sacrifices. If somebody passes away, that father, husband, and son has severed several people losing someone that they care about. So as we think about sacrifices, we all sacrifice, though, in one way or another. If you don't know the term opportunity cost, we start our day by sacrificing. You choose to do one thing, and you will sacrifice the opportunity to do something else. Easy example, you're tired in the morning, you say, you know what, I want to sleep in. You may lose the opportunity to spend some quiet time before you go to work. Just an opportunity cost. And so we end up choosing the things that we sacrifice in our lives. So we all choose to sacrifice certain things, and it's really important to understand what are we choosing not to sacrifice and what we do choose to sacrifice. Because even if you choose not specifically to choose one, you will end up choosing one, even by not specifically doing it. So you choose, you may not say, I don't want to go and spend time with the Lord in the morning. You might just say, hey, I want to rest because I stayed up too late. But what happens in the end is you chose the one, which means you did not choose the other. And it's a sacrifice. As we think about these sacrifices, you can't but help think about the ultimate sacrifice. I like football, and that you would call it the Super Bowl of sacrifices, which would be Jesus' Pastor Paul alluded to, the ultimate sacrifice, the sacrifices of all sacrifices, you could say. Because a lot of times when we sacrifice things, it's just, like I mentioned, it's not something tragic. It's not horrible on that I chose to do one thing, not the other. I chose McDonald's instead of Hardee's or whatever. I mean, those choices don't have huge ramifications. But for Jesus' decision was a ripple effect. And it wasn't just a one-time sacrifice. It was a sacrifice for all. And so as we talk about that today, it's just fitting. Because we just talk about men and women in our military who have sacrificed. We talk about Jesus who sacrificed for us all. So Hebrews is what we're talking about. And the great thing about Hebrews in this chapter 10 talks about Jesus being the perfect sacrifice. And until I read Hebrews several times, and Pastor Bob will tell you if you're going to say a message on a chapter, he really suggests you to read it over and over and over and over again, just so that you can hear from the Lord on what he wants you to speak. And so as I was reading over and over again, I hadn't thought at the magnitude of Jesus being the perfect sacrifice in the ways that he really gripped my heart on this. The first thing was God formed his body to be the perfect sacrifice. I think about that God created this human form, Jesus, which he created us all. He needed us in our mother's womb, the word says. But Jesus was created knowing that he would be the perfect sacrifice. That, and of course, Jesus is God, so that he knew what his mission was, what was going to be called upon, what was prophesied of him, and just the weight of that through the years of him growing up, knowing his Father's will. But his body was created to be the perfect sacrifice. He was perfect. When I was 17, I joined the military. And I was in, I think it was about 22, and I was talking to a buddy of mine when I was in. And I don't know about you, but when I was in the military, I didn't really think about being physically fit or anything like that. But I can tell you that when I was in my prime, I was very fit. We just had the Fargo Marathon. Would you run 10K? 10K, would you run the 10K in? So that was just under 9 minutes? 8 minutes, 44 seconds a mile, which is pretty good, right? You guys think you can run 10K in 8 minutes, 44 seconds a mile? When I ran, I ran 14 miles pretty much every day. And I ran just over 5-minute miles. That's how fast I used to run. I used to be, I don't know if you know this, but if you wanted to join the Olympic team and you could run a marathon, which is 26th, if you can run under 5-minute miles, and I was just over 5-minute miles, it'll let you walk onto the Olympic marathon team. If you can show that you can do that, they'll let you go and try and be part of the team without having to have tryout, because you're that fast. And I was at 5-minute miles. And so I was pretty fit at the time, but I had never thought about my body being the perfect body at all, right? We all self-conscious on different things, but Jesus' body was the perfect sacrifice. I didn't think about that. It was just something like I probably wasted too much time thinking about, I mean, what did Jesus really look like, right? How was he knitted that he was? But the fact that he was without sin, obviously, is the predominant part of it. Jesus was a perfect sacrifice because God knit his body to be the perfect sacrifice. Jesus was also the perfect sacrifice because in verse 7, it says, "Then I said, here I am, it is written about me in the scrolls." So it's prophesied that Jesus would be coming and that he would die. It said, "I will come to do your will, O God." So God, Jesus was the perfect sacrifice because not only was he knitted, he was without sin, but he was doing exactly the will of God. He knew what it was. He followed in what was supposed to happen. And I tell you, this is something I have thought about a lot. If I was Jesus, and I'm a flawed man, but if I knew the plan that God had for me from birth until I was 32 years old, I'm telling you, I don't know if I would have done it. I had all the power in the world to call down and to just wreak havoc on the people that were spitting on me, that were whipping me, that were just doing horrible things. And yet, I don't know, because there would be so many times I would just have rage in me to allow to know the injustice that was going on. I mean, when you see injustice, I don't know about you, but I get very angry when I see injustice that's going on, especially the magnitude that was going on. I mean, I would be very angry. And Jesus fulfilled the will. It's huge. He didn't waver in it. He said, "I have come to do your will." Jesus was the perfect sacrifice because the old system, and this is something they actually talk quite a bit about in chapter 10, was never what it was meant to be. In verse 4, it says, "Because it is impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sin." So back then, the law required that annually they would make sacrifice. And this was to ask for their sins to be forgiven. In verse 5, it continues on and says, "Then Christ came into the world and he said, sacrifice and offerings you did not desire." That's because when the world was created, there was no sin, so there was no need for sacrifice. There was no need for offerings for sin atonement. So it wasn't what God desired. It's not what he really wanted. But God created Jesus, his body. And with burnt offerings and sin offerings, you were not pleased, Jesus said. So then Jesus says, "Here I am." Continues on in verse 8, says, "Sacrifices and offerings, burnt offerings and sin offerings, you did not desire, nor were you pleased with them, although the law required them to be made." He said, "Here I am, I have come to do your will. I have set aside the first to establish the second. And by that will, we have been made holy through the sacrifice of the body of Jesus Christ once and for all." So Jesus came so that this old law of sacrificing animals annually, which never pleased the Lord, it never was enough to atone for sin. Jesus said, "I am here. I will take it all away. If you'll only have me, I will take it all away." Day after day, every priest stands and performs his religious duties again and again, and he offers the same sacrifices, which can never take away sin, because they're not the perfect sacrifice. So Jesus did it because he's the perfect sacrifice, also because it would be once and for all. See, Jesus being an eternal being, Jesus being there before sin, was there, and he was there while the sin was created, and he's going to be there in the future. He's eternal, so therefore he is there to take and be there to forgive sin that you've created, sin that we are doing, and sin that you will do in the future. He's eternal. We don't have to go in and sacrifice again next year or the year after, because Jesus was an eternal being, and his sacrifice was good enough for it all. You know, the Bible says that God is love. And John 15:13 says, greater love has no one than this, that he laid down his life for his friends. We give our life up, sacrifice for our friends. On Memorial Day, we talk about people sacrificing. Not only for your friends, but I will tell you that when you're in combat, you are as close as brothers. And that is why a movie, they called it Band of Brothers, is because they're really family. When you go into combat and the only person that you have to trust with your entire being is the person to your left and to your right, you trust them. And if you go into combat with somebody you don't trust, it's an empty feeling. When I was in, there was a platoon sergeant that I didn't trust. And they were wanting to send us into Panama, which is triple canopy. And I actually went several levels up to say, I will not go and serve underneath this man. Because if you go into combat, which Panama wasn't a combat area, but it's very dangerous in the jungle there, you have to trust them with your life, that they're going to give great wisdom to lead you well. And if they're not going to, if they're incompetent, you don't want to be in a life or death situation with somebody you can't trust. With our Lord and Savior, he sacrificed it because he loved us. There's no greater love. Again, the Super Bowl of all sacrifices. So what about us? Well, Ephesians 5:1 says, be imitators of God. Therefore, as dearly loved children, live a life of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. We are to be imitators of God. There's a saying, I don't know where Bob got it, but he said, it's good enough for Jesus, it's good enough for me, right? I don't know if he's taking that quote from somebody else, but it's true. God calls us to emulate what Jesus has done. He's our pattern that we want to emulate. And Jesus was the ultimate sacrifice. And we can't be Jesus because we're just not. We're not God. We're not perfect. We've already sinned. But we need to move to being made holy, to try to be more holy, to be more like Jesus. And that means that Jesus was the perfect sacrifice. And that means he chose to be sacrificial. And he chose to do the will of God. Romans 12:1 says, therefore I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. To offer our bodies as a living sacrifice. We, I pray, never have to go and put our bodies in harm's way for the gospel like Jesus did. I mean, I don't know of crucifixions that are really happening nowadays, but I know that in some dark places of the world, there's horrendous things that are happening to Christians. But what I really want you to understand is we are called to live as living sacrifices. And that's what God calls us to do. But he didn't do it without showing us the example, the greatest example. But we have free will, which is a blessing. We get to choose on what we sacrifice. In that, we get to choose what we sacrifice, what we don't sacrifice. And so I'm going to show you a clip. And this clip is from the movie Band of Brothers, or the series. And its episode is The Battle of the Bulge and their attack on Foy. It's a town that is just defended by Germans. And as this battalion, it's 101st, by the way, I served at the 101st. And this battalion is attacking the city of the town of Foy, and Easy Company is going in, and the battalion commander has sent in Easy Company, and it is being led by Lieutenant Dyke. And as they go into this town, and they're starting to take this town, they get in about half the way to actually getting to the town, and he sends a signal and yells out for everybody to hold their position. So everybody in that that message is to just basically take a knee where you're at. Now, it's really meant for if you're going on an offense and you don't want to be seen, and so we want everybody to stop so the enemy doesn't find us, or about to walk into a minefield and you're like, do not take another step. They tell you to stop right where you're at. And so he does the signal, but it's when he is attacking a town that's defending. So they have snipers out there. They're shooting mortars. And so they end up being sitting ducks, and guys are just getting picked off. And as this happens, he ends up freezing, and he just doesn't know what's going on. He doesn't know what to lead the guys. And everybody's like, hey, we got to move. We got to get out of here. And the battalion commander from the back's like, move forward, attack the town. And he's saying to hold, and people are dying. And so the battalion commander makes the decision. I've got to send another guy to take over, because this guy is not choosing to do what needs to be done. And he sends in Lieutenant Spears, and he goes in and he starts to lead the charge. And what we're going to take off is that they just started the charge in, and they have I Company on the other side waiting to be told, hey, to start their attack from the other side, and so that they can assault this town. So you're saying we're not going to have much sound? So basically what he's saying is, we got to attack them now because the Germans are going to run and they won't get these guys. So he says, wait here. And this is Lieutenant Spears running through the German lines, through the whole town. He runs right through the whole Germans, and the guy says, at first they didn't start shooting at him because they were surprised. They never would thought anybody would just run through their lines. But the most amazing part is he runs to the other side, tells I Company to start their attack, and he runs back through the town again so he can lead his charge from the other side. And here's him coming back through the German lines to come back and lead. And look at that face. That man just by his face said, I will lead that. I'll follow that man in a combat. And then they go on to say right here that they took over 100 and some German soldiers as captive. You can stop that clip. The first lieutenant chose to stay safe. There's a lot of bad language. I didn't want to watch the clip, but if you'd watch it, he was glossed over a dazed look behind a wagon as rounds were just coming in. He was scared for his life. I don't really blame him. Guys were dying left and right of him. I mean, and he was scared, and he froze up. So he chose to hide behind this wagon and live than to attack a town that didn't seem very high likelihood that they might win. They were well defended. Lieutenant Spears, on the other hand, he chose to put his life on the line because he didn't want I Company to get overran, because if the German soldiers in the town decided to go the other direction and attack their way out, then I Company could have got overran. And they didn't want the Germans to escape and then attack another area. So he chose to put his life on the line twice to finish the mission. We have a choice. Are we going to stay where it's nice and warm and safe? Or are we going to go out and say, Lord, I'm here to do your will? It's not easy. And in the light of the last year and even times before, we just see brothers and sisters in the war against Satan, in the gospel, that are in our family of believers, we just see men and women falling to the wayside, leaving the church. There's a lot of just bad things that Satan's doing inside different churches that hinders the gospel, tears churches and families. It's not easy, and Satan is not lying down as we move the gospel forward. And so there will be casualties, and people will be hurt, feelings will be hurt, some families will be torn apart. But we can't choose just to hide. We can't choose not to, because if we choose not to do anything, we still are choosing to sacrifice something. I want to instill this in my children early. My children have a rule 8, a series of rules. And our rule 8 is to put others before themselves. When we were in Milbank watching my niece's graduation, my daughter was doing the look at me, see what I'm doing show. She was playing on the swings. It was just being a kid. But I brought her to the side as I was watching her, and I said, "What's rule 8? She said, "Put others before myself." And I said, "Do you know why we do that? Do you know why we have a rule 8? And she's like, "No." And I said, "It's because you know that mommy and daddy love you, and that's unconditional. You know that God loves you. It's unconditional. And that you were made special. And that he loves you no matter what." And I said, "Not all other people, not other children know that. And if you make them feel special, putting them first, you will show a little bit of God's love to them. And it's important that our children are on mission with us and they understand what we're doing. That's sacrificial. We want to show, hey, this is what we can do. But it's not about us. It's about God. It's about eternal salvation." Joshua 24:15. "For me and my house, we will serve the Lord." I call you guys to live holy sacrificial lives as God is calling us to do. We are fountains, and the Holy Spirit fills us up. And I was going to bring a bird feeder along. I don't know if you know the concept of bird feeder, but there's a little rim around this tube of bird feed. And as we become believers and we become more disciplined, usually what that means is things just get better for us financially, because we're not usually handcuffed to debt because we try to pay things off. We put our God in our marriages first, and so our marriages start getting better, and things become better. And so what happens is we start seeing our little world of good, and we cling to it. Instead of going out and sacrificing what we have for that, our energy, our time, and money, we want to cling to that. And that bird feeder of the blessings of the Lord, we want to keep. But the Holy Spirit is refilling that bird feeder. And the more we allow the Lord to sacrifice the bird seed to come out, the Holy Spirit will refill us. We have to understand that. It is not by our own power. The Holy Spirit will refill us. He is in us. The power that created this world, we have access to. The Holy Spirit in us. The Holy Spirit is attest to Jesus in being the perfect sacrifice. It fulfills the covenant. In verse 16 says, "This is the covenant." Back to 15. "The Holy Spirit also testifies to us in this. First he says, 'This is the covenant I will make with them.' And after that time, says the Lord, 'I will put my laws in their heart and I'll write them on their hands.' And then he adds, 'Their sins and lawless acts I will remember no more.'" The Holy Spirit, third part of that being in us, attest to it all. And the most amazing blessing of it all is all the sins that we have, he says right here, "I will remember no more." The things that we wrong Jesus, he sacrificed and he doesn't remember us anymore. We have the example of the Lord being the holy sacrifice, and we're to emulate that. Let's pray. Father, we're to live a holy sacrificial life. We can seem that this is a daunting task. You were created perfect. You are God. But the truth is, Lord, we are not called to be perfect. We are not called to be the Savior. We are called to emulate you, Lord, to allow ourselves to be used, Lord, by you, to love, to sacrifice. I see my wife sacrifice for her kids day in and day out. I see Haley sacrificing for her children day in and day out as we see them. And Lord, it's not about us. And if we want to be sacrificial, Lord, we need to remember we need to be doing your will. And we will be imitators of you. Pray these things in Jesus' name.